Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman, we only have special guests. And today we go to Portland to interview Mark. Mark and I are both podcasters. We're fascinated by sports and we just love to talk. So welcome, Mark. Introduce yourself a little bit. Anything else that you'd like to share?
Thank you. Honored to be on your show. And I enjoyed so much talking to you on my podcast. I'm in Portland and I've lived here for 25 years. I was born in San Francisco, but raised in Portland and then schooled in Los Angeles. For my career, most of it was spent in sporting goods. I started actually in retail, working for a Bay Area department store. And then I worked for the corporate headquarters of The Gap for 5 or 6 years and had a great experience there. And then worked my way into the sporting goods world as a young product manager and then working my way up into a brand communications position and then VP of sales and marketing for basically the major baseball, softball company at the time, Easton Sports. Having grown up here in Portland, my dream at one point was to work for Nike and that became a reality. I spent about 20 years working for Nike. And in between two stints there, I worked for Adidas and then actually started my own executive search business focused in the sporting goods world.
Sounds so cool. And I know a lot of young listeners, everybody wants to work in sports. I had a short stint at the Madison Square Garden. I was like, how can you get into Madison Square Garden? I was like, yeah, it was special. I know working for Nike is something like climbing Mount Everest almost. Tell us more about that.
I think that's a good story. Even though I joined the company in my early 30s, I can remember a flight. My office at the time was technically in Southern California, in Irvine, but I was living in San Francisco with my wife and flying back and forth. And I can remember, it was probably 2 months into my job there, and a woman that was next to me asked me who I worked for. And I was so excited to be working for Nike. I shared that. And she said something to the effect of, oh, that must be so exciting. And it somehow caught me. Maybe it was a Friday night and I was tired. But I actually teared up because I was so excited to be working for the company. And in part, yes, there's the brand side of it and the product side of it and the athletes and the like. But I think for me personally, what was so exciting above all else was just working with other talented people who were motivated and passionate about what they were doing and what they were focused on. I don't consider myself to be a highly competitive person, but I wanted to be just as good as, right? I didn't want to be kind of left behind by all these really talented people, because one of the things I've always enjoyed is learning, and I can learn from others as well, whether they be coworkers or managers or those that might actually have worked for me as well. I think to the point of how do you break into the world, it's difficult. And I've always thought, and this isn't just pertinent to Nike and other sporting goods players, but I think on average, I think every young employee, up and coming talent needs either a retail background on some level for a couple of years or a sales background, right? Just to level set so that you can talk a common language. Whether you're going into brand marketing or product development or merchandising or sales, I think to be grounded in really having to sell or having to work retail is really valuable.
I think so. And you can learn so much from retail.
It's a tough world.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. And then I think you also have a different appreciation when you are a customer in retail.
Oh, and I think we were joking there, but I think working retail is so valuable in terms of experience. But the hours are long, and obviously the interactions can be challenging at times. I can remember when I was working for The Gap, probably my most favorite experience there was helping to open their international stores in London. We had one in Richmond and Croydon in London. And we were excited Americans. And as you know, as a European, service is different in Europe and clearly in London. We were these eager Americans coming out of the chute. And it almost felt, I think if you were a British consumer, as though we were almost accosting you because we were so happy and how can we help you? And literally, I can remember a couple of times where customers literally laughed as we approached them because we were just so American.
Hello, how are you?
So you have to adjust. And you know this, right? Because as a business consultant who works all over the world, obviously there are idiosyncrasies associated with all the global capital cities and major countries in the world.
Everybody's different. But I have to say, I am so enamored with the Nike store in New York City. I mean, this is like you walk in there, you're like, oh my God. It's first day, I don't know which store they had first, but there was one in Soho, and it was an old building, like a brick building. And you go up all the escalators and you see it, and it feels so cool. And what really struck me was like they were the most beautiful people there as salespeople. I was wondering if they only hire beautiful, young, sportsy people to be in retail.
I don't think the appearance matters. I think a love of sport and to be an athlete obviously helps. And really, that's the face of the company, because it's clearly not when I was working there or any of my compatriots, because consumers don't have access, nor would they even care to have access to us working on the forefront, whether it's in Manhattan or London or Paris. That's the face of the brand. It's really important, obviously, to have your best foot forward. So,
yeah, it's amazing. Whoever is in New York City, please go and join the Nike store and go all the way up where there's like little booths. I think you can rent them for meetings. You feel like a Nike executive there.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of the situation before the brand new flagship in Manhattan. The Nike store in New York was in the Trump Tower, right? And so that got a little more politically charged as the politics of 2016 emerged and beyond. Then it became, I think the plan was to move out anyway. But yeah, some of the stores that we have around the world are just amazing. The one in Shanghai, the flagship that we have there is extraordinary. So,
yeah. And now that you mentioned the Nike store was in the Trump Tower, this was kind of like the thing to do when I had people visiting me. We need to go and see the Nike store. It was always so amazing.
Well, I think the brand has always been a really good storyteller. I can remember when I was working for Easton Sports and we would go, there was an annual sporting goods show in August back in Chicago, and I would take my team to go through the Nike store. And we weren't necessarily direct competitors in a lot of instances, but it was just to the point that you're making, the beauty of storytelling, right? The athletes connected to the brand and paraphernalia, memorabilia and the like. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been at the heart of the company. Is basically telling that athlete's story and trying to enhance their performance and then showing the visible results of that effort through the medals and all the other crowns that have been won by great Nike athletes and teams.
Oh, it's an amazing story. And the Shoe Dog certainly is a book. Somebody recommended it and I was like, oh, this is so cool. The story of Nike is interesting to read.
On some level, I'm biased having worked there, but it is kind of the American success story, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about a really bright individual, but basically somebody who starts a company out of literally their trunk, right? Because he's focused on running, having been an athlete at Oregon, having run for Bill Bowerman, and then having gotten his MBA at Stanford. But basically, he was there trying to pave the way and start a new company with just a handful of other compatriots. And it was a humble beginning and clearly it worked.
And what was fascinating to me, he was an accountant. I don't know, usually people come from sales or marketing, but he was an accountant and obviously a very passionate runner. I thought that was a fascinating story for me as a HR person or working in sales and marketing and also in the sports world.
There's a mildly funny story here. Now, I only had a chance to meet him face-to-face once, and it was in an elevator. And we were talking about baseball, actually, because one of the Giants World Series had just ended, and this was a Friday, right? It was a casual day, and I was wearing a Giants cap, San Francisco Giants cap. And it's like, oh, that second baseman, meaning Joe Panic at the time. We were talking about that. But the better story, I can remember late on a Friday, probably about 4:00, I had been out running some errands or doing something. I was coming back into the building and he was leaving. And a woman next to me said something to the effect of, Phil or Mr. Knight, like, why are you working so late? And he joked and said, well, I need to get the paychecks out, right? You know, it's that kind of account in the financial background. He was making light of the situation. But yeah, if you read Shoe Dog, so much of that is about the financial survival of the company during different milestone periods of time. He started it with a shoestring and then with financing along the way. There were moments in time where a couple bad circumstances happening could have been the death knell for the company. I was talking to another associate, a former associate who I now work with on some investments. And Steve Nichols had been with a company for 36 years, and he was regaling the story of when, at that time, JCPenney, which was a relatively large account, no longer an active account for Nike, but at the time, their volume had gone from 75 to 25 million in a single year. And given the size of the company at the time, Nike, that was a huge drop off, right? And Rob Strasser, who was the right hand to Nike at the time, was involved in this meeting and basically kind of went off on this account to say, what are you doing? Basically, you could take us out of business here. Now we think of it as a monolithic, ubiquitous brand all over the world. There are moments in time where things have could have gone the opposite direction, but for the great work of certain individuals along the way.
Yeah, I think so. And what I also like, now we're talking more about the book than you, when he went to Japan, right? The cross-cultural awareness of like doing business in Japan is totally different than when you do business in the US. I'm wondering, you mentioned that opening of the store of the Gap, but do you have any other stories like that?
Well, I think that's interesting, yeah, because without the trading part, the Japanese trading partner, Nike couldn't have made a go of it, right? Because that's where the financing was coming from, mm-hmm. to produce the product to ship into the US. Now in the entrepreneurial space with so many startups and so many venture capital firms, and I'm working with an angel fund, you can get that financing if you're a compelling leader, have a great business idea, get some traction and the likes. Those funds can come, you know, from any number of sources here domestically. But at the time, and quite frankly, he had not traveled internationally, right? And so much of that is trust. And you honestly, as a young businessman, don't necessarily know who you're doing business with. And quite frankly, there were some early moments in time where I think it was Tiger, basically. I don't want to get too far into the depths here, but basically I decided to compete against him as a distributor, and the company could have been brought to the knees as well. And I'd had to make a pivot, you know, to get some financing and to basically take it on himself.
What a cool story. What are you taking away?
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Talking to somebody who worked at Nike, always inspiring. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. Chime in. There's something for everybody. And if you need a book, Take It From the Iron Woman started out as a book, Global Business Coaching with Sports Parallels. Download it or buy it online.